The journey of whining. As the road is quite busy towards the cross, that leads to the cross, for those of us who feel like that maybe God just forgot us, or God went ahead and let something happen to us. Now today in this message, I'm going to give you the cure for whining. I'm going to give you the biblical cure. I want you to know that God has not abandoned you. For those of you who are out there, my veteran friends and all that's ever been in combat that are having a hard time with what's going on now since Afghanistan, suicide rates are rising again. Don't do it. Don't do it. If you're contemplating it today, don't do it. Because you see, God says, I love you. And God says, I will touch you. Your problem has never been with God. Your problem is with the evil in the world. And God says, I have overcome the evil. And we say, then why do we keep going through it? Because you're living in life that is full of evil. But we are God's children, and God said, I put you on the path. The path I put you on, I will take you through it. I will make sure that all of the traps in the way of your life are taken care of. I will fill in the holes. I will move the rocks out of your way. And if a mountain gets in your way, God says, on the path I put you on, I'm going to move it. No Goliath is going to be big enough to stop you. Follow God's direction, but do not take your own life. You are important to God because your breathing is proof of that. What is happening is evil. Evil hurts. God says, I want you to know that I am one. I am one. The prophet Elijah, Jehovah God. God looks at man and God chooses. Elijah happened to be the serve the God that he knew as Yahweh, Jehovah God. He said, I'm a servant of Almighty God, the one God. And God proclaimed his oneness to the world. There is one and one only. Other than me, you worship in vain. You are idolaters. Therefore, you cannot win. God says, I am that I am. I am who I am and I will be. I mean, what God is saying is, I'm the all in all. There is one. What do you need? I'm your God. I'm the one that's going to take care of it. So as Elijah is listening to God, God says, Elijah, now there are prophets out there. They're evil, the prophets of Baal. Now the prophets of Baal were doing everything they could to destroy the word of God and to kill the prophets. Why, they were slaughtering prophets right and left because of two vile leaders. And those two vile leaders were so vile that God said, Elijah, do your thing. That's a paraphrase by the pastor. Elijah, do what I've called you to do. Go out in my power. Not your power, Elijah, my power. Ahab was the seventh king of Israel. His wife's name was Jezebel. There were no two, well, Jezebel was more vile than he was. But the vileness grew into one solid mass of pure evil. And God had had enough. When God has had enough, God's had enough. That's the time for you to get out of the way. And God looks down. Listen to 1 Kings 18:21. Elijah went before the people and said, "How long will you waver between two opinions?" Now, I want you to listen. Moses asked the same question. I want you to know that Joshua asked the same question. How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him. And then he proposed a meeting. Woo, was it a powerful meeting. Elijah says, here's what I want you to do. Ahab and Miss Jezebel, I want you to gather all the prophets of Baal and all the idols to Asherah poles. Jezebel had her own group of followers. And I want you to come to the mount and we will see, because I challenge you in the name of God. And he said, I want you to pick the sacrifice. Whatever it is, I'll supply it for you. And I want you, the prophets of Baal, I want you to take your sacrifice, and I'm going to give you all the time you want all day. All day long, you go ahead and put your sacrifice on, and you call to your god Baal to burn the sacrifice. Send down fire to burn up the sacrifice that you're offering. Well, it was so pitiful. They were cutting themselves. They were slicing each other. They were doing everything as in their prayer time or whatever they were calling it. It was brutal. So Elijah steps in about 12 noon. Now, that's the way this went. And Elijah steps in about 12 noon. Brother Randy, he starts taunting these priests. There's 400 of them. One man. Elijah says, there's only one prophet standing here. But let me tell you, when you're standing for the word of God, you're the majority. In any battle that you're going through, one's a majority. So as he stands there, he taunts them, where is your God? You've been praying all morning. It's 12 noon. And even at one point, I'm going back to the actual translation here out of the Greek. He says, has he gone to the bathroom? Now, a lot of things have been cleaned up out of Scripture. But that's how bad he was taunting him. And they continued. They became more vicious during the rest of the afternoon. Finally, it was near evening, and no fire had come down. And then it was time for Elijah. And Elijah, 1 Kings 19:3 through 5, I'm going to read in a moment. But Elijah says, bring the offering. Put it on the altar. They brought the offering, put it on the altar. He said, now pour water, soak it with water. A trench around it. They dug. And the water ran. Three different times he said, now I want more water. Three different times until it was running out of the trenches even. And then he prayed. Yeah, he did. Elijah didn't cut himself. He didn't beat himself. He didn't crawl under a pew or jump over a pew. Elijah prayed and asked God to accept the offering and show these people that there is one true God. Well, fire came from heaven. It consumed the sacrifice. It consumed the rocks that were there. It consumed all the water. that was even in the trenches. And do you know? It even consumed the dirt that was under it. Now that was power. And then Elijah demanded the death, as commanded by God, of the 400 false prophets. And what God had said, 450 of Baal. There were supposed to have been 400 more of Asherah. They didn't show up that day. But 450 were put to death. But then it happened. All the power of heaven, Elijah witnessed. But then Jezebel said, I will have your life within 24 hours. So you would think this great man of God, who just called down fire from heaven, watched all of this take place, he would have stood up. But no, he was human, just like you and me. And don't you see, the scripture shows us the human condition. We see it, how we feel, how we hurt. And Elijah was scared to death of Jezebel, this woman. He was terrified of her, and he takes off running from the queen. 1 Kings 19, verses 3 and 5, 3 through 5. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. Okay, go back with me. 450 prophets of Baal. He was right in the middle of them, and he wasn't even a bit afraid. But after the killing, after the demonstration that God had laid out, he became afraid of the wicked queen, Jezebel. And he took off running, and he came to a broom tree. Now, you'll see this broom tree part. What it is, it's a great big, you and I'd call it a big bush. It's a great big, low-growing bush with a great big trunk that goes down in the wilderness. And it's green because the roots go so far down, it doesn't matter how dry it is, it finds the water. It goes to the source of the water and keeps going down until it reaches it. Elijah crawled under that broom tree and asked God to take his life. Listen to this. He sat down under it and prayed that he might die. Folks, don't pray for that. I got in enough trouble saying it was, you know, it's okay with me when I'm fighting these cancers. You know, Randy, I'm excited about dying. I was supposed to be saying I'm excited about living, because when God's through with me, I'll go on. But until then, quit whining, Larry. Don't whine. Elijah, what are you doing? Well, let me finish reading. And he prayed that he might die. Listen to what he said. I have had enough, Lord. If that ain't whining, I don't know what is. He said, take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. Well, they're all dead, Elijah. Yep. He was a walking dead. Then he lay down under the tree and he fell asleep. Happens quite a bit, especially when you're in a ministry. The pressures of life, the pressures of conditions in life, the pressures you see upon your congregation, the hurt and the pain that you deal with through ministering to other individuals, and the stress, you just go home and you lay down. Maybe, Lord, after I take a nap, it'll be better. All at once, an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. Get up and eat. Here's the cure. I'm to it now. I want you to see it. Here's the cure for the whiner. Get up and eat. Nourish the physical. Elijah was on the run from Jezebel, but he was also on the run from God. God, I witnessed your might. Why? 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 Get up and eat. Nourish your body. And God had sustained him there. We even sent raven to feed him. I mean, he had meat and all. God doing all of these miracles again for him. And then, here's what took place. God, I wanted to do it this way. God cooked for him, served him, spoke to him, and then woke him up. Oh, ho, ho, ho. Now, well, Larry, he'd have to be awake for him to do all. No, listen to me. Go to the depth. God woke him up. When God wakes you up with his touch, wakes you up to the ministry he has for you, to the purpose he created you for, you don't have a right to take your life. You don't have a right to sit here and say, Lord, would you go ahead and take me because I'm dying and I can't handle this pain. Suck it up. Enjoy the power and the miracles that he's going to continue to give you. And he does. He continues to touch. Elijah, I love you, but get up. So Elijah, listen to me. So Elijah got up. He ate, 1 Kings 19, 8 through 9. So he got up and ate and drank. This was food prepared by God. You ready for this? Strengthened by that food, listen to me, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights. That was a meal and a half, boy. That was better than any power bar you'll ever eat. That was a meal prepared by God, filled with his love. 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There, he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him. Listen to this word. What are you doing here? What are you doing here, Elijah? I have a job for you to do. What are you doing in the cave? You take care of your body physically. You do what you can, and then go out and stand in the presence of God. Lord, I've done what I can to do the best that I can for the body you've given me, this vehicle that you've given to me for a time on earth to spread your gospel. I've done what I can. And if you go to sleep in a cave thinking, I'm just going to retire, you're going to get a tap on the shoulder. Larry Pete, what are you doing here? Have I not touched your life? Proclaim my word. Have I not expressed my love? Express my love to others. Have I not given to you? Have I not fed you? Have I not done this? Have I not done that? All things that you have, all people that I have blessed you to get to know, it is a gift from me. What are you doing here? Wake up and come to the presence of God. 1 Kings 19, 11 through 13. The Lord said, go out. Had a word for Elijah. Go out, stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord. For the Lord is about to pass by. The Lord is about to pass by. You cannot look upon the Lord and live. Your humanness will not stand it. But I am going to show you and reveal to you my presence. You and I have been so blessed, for we're living in the day of grace. We get to live in the presence of Almighty God through His Son, Jesus Christ. He gave it all for you and me. He is the sacrifice. I don't have to bring one. God provided one for me, for you. What are you doing here? He says, come to my presence. And then many of you who study remember this part. The Lord is about to pass by. Then there was a great windstorm. Horrendous windstorm. But the Lord was not in the wind. Then there was a great earthquake. Can you imagine the trembling? Not a good time to be among the rocks or in a cave. And the earthquake came. And then there was a great fire that billowed out. But God was not in the wind. He was not in the earthquake. He was not in the fire. Listen well. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. Those of us who read the Old English a lot, a still, small voice. It was a whisper. Just the Lord whispering directly to Elijah. Then a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? Same question. You see, you and I need the cure for our self-pity about what's going on in our life. Get up, take care of your body, eat what you know you should, go out, stand in the presence of God. Oh, this third one knows. Rough, Randy. God says, I'm nourishing you. I'm preparing you. And you know what he told Elijah? Now, Elijah, go back the way you came. Elijah, go back, clean up your mess. Folks, you and I have often said, oh, if I had a do-over. Every day of your life is a do-over. You have an opportunity to look at something bad that took place within your life, and you have an opportunity to ask for forgiveness and to go to that individual and try to make peace, whatever it takes. You have given that opportunity. But Elijah, I want you to go back the way you came, and I want you to witness my love and my power. Elijah, no retirement. But you see what God did with Elijah prior to this? He'd give him 6 years in what you would call a retirement. Or 6 years off, Elijah, I want you to go. And all of his prophets, he would do that. 1 year, 2 years, 6 years, whatever. Because I got something big prepared for you. Well, when Elijah got off that vacation, well, he never dreamed it'd be that big. And God says to him, go back the way you came and witness his love. 1 Kings 9:19-15. The Lord said to him, go back. Oh, that old path, Lord, do you realize how many years that your pastor has told you about that path that God has set out for you in your life? What he's asking for is, go back on the same path. And now I give you the power to straighten it out. It's not your responsibility to make someone listen or for anyone to accept what you have to say. Your responsibility is, go back the way you came, because now you have seen it all. I'm so excited what God has blessed me with over life. I'm talking about combat. I'm talking about the evil parts of my youth, of growing up, of things that went on with me. But folks, I hold no ill will because I have witnessed God's will. There's no power greater than God's power. There's no love greater than God's love. And there's nobody that loves you or me more than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You see, God says, I need to come down and live your hurt. I need to come down and feel your pain. I need to know what really is harming my children. So in Christ, God, who is Spirit, witnessed your pain and my pain. He took every sin that you have ever committed or ever shall commit, and he nailed it on that cross. And he said, Lord, I give my all for them because I love them. What a parent. What love. What power. He healed me. I've never seen him. He loves me. I know him from the Spirit within me. I've never shook his hand. I never got to give him a hug. But I'll take care of that pretty soon. Because he loves me. You and I need to love one another. And we need to stand up for the truth of God, even though the world says, if you do that, I will take your life. You can't. You can't. You didn't give me this life. Jesus did. And I gave my life to him, knowing he gave it to me first. But when I presented myself to him as that young boy, folks, you don't mess with one of God's children. Disease, you don't mess with one of God's children. You and I pray for one another. You and I lift each other up. But don't you dare be afraid to go back that path. Be the new you. Most will hate you anyway. That's not your job any more than it's my job to get people saved. That's not my job. My job is to preach God's word. Holy Spirit convicts. The Holy Spirit touches that individual's heart. And then that individual accepts Christ or rejects him. Not my job. Your job, do what God called you to do. That's all he's asked of us. Do what I've given you the strength to do. You don't have to do any more than that. But that'll be a lot. Folks, you all don't know how you touch lives, how much you bless the heart of your pastor when I get to see your smile, how much you bless the heart of your pastor when I know you're praying for him, how much you bless the heart of your pastor because we're family and your pastor loves you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the blessings of joy of salvation. Help us, Lord, as we go through these battles, that we not become whiners, but that we become strong in your strength. Thank you, Father, for that strength. We thank you for the blessings and the joy. Now I ask, Father, for your special protection upon this congregation as it travels. Bless each and every one that listens, Lord. Let your will be done in their life as it pleases you, as you touch these lives. I ask that blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. If you will notice, I got the shoe boxes up here. I got carried away at the beginning and didn't announce it. But these are the shoe boxes that we, with the Samaritan's purse. You want to take one. All the information's on the inside. Everything's in there for you. You don't have to have a rubber band now or any of that. Everything's in there. I do have some of these plastic ones they sent us this time. If you want to take them, I think they may hold a little more. But if you're wanting to be a part of doing that, that is an awesome ministry. Awesome for those kids out there. Get it All the information's on the inside. I just love you all to death. Remember, my friends, please, you're going to have a great opportunity this week as you walk the path God has given you. I want you to look down in that ditch. As you look in that ditch, you will see someone down there hurting worse than you ever dreamed of hurting. Reach your hand down in that ditch of life. You just might touch the hand of Jesus.